Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week, we look at the current assault on our freedom of speech. We'll learn about the ancient mountain of curses, and the latest headlines from the end times will be revealed. Faithful friends, our effort to have 500 monthly supporters and join the work here at Southwest Radio Ministries is underway. I'm so excited to report that we have individuals and families committed to supporting SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall on a monthly basis. Friends, will you join these faithful friends with your monthly gift? Visit SWRC.com and click on Donate Now, or simply call 1-800-652-1144. Please, friends, be one of the faithful 500 this month. Your recurring monthly gift helps us continue this kingdom-sized mission every single day. Staff evangelist Josh Davis visited with Dr. Kenneth Hill to examine the current state of one of our most basic rights as Americans, freedom of speech. Their conversation will reveal that this freedom is under assault in ways that may surprise you. Here's Josh Davis and Dr. Kenneth Hill.
Well, friends, it's my privilege to be joined in the studio by Dr. Kenneth Hill, the ministry president of Southwest Radio Church. And typically, it's Dr. Hill that's conducting the interviews. And today, it's the other way around. I get the privilege to interview him about an important book that he has written. It talks about the assault on our liberty. And we encourage you to call us at 1-800-652-1144 or visit us online at swrc.com and request your copy of Assault on Liberty. We're going to be discussing this with our ministry president, Dr. Kenneth Hill. Dr. Hill, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Josh. It's good to be with you. And it's always good to be on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast.
Amen. Thank you so much. And what is this book, Assault on Liberty? What's the basic gist, the basic argument behind this book?
Well, this book is basically a history of the Fairness Doctrine, and it talks about the Fairness Doctrine and the First Amendment, our ability to have the liberty to speak our mind and to give the truth to people. The book came out of conferences that we had several years ago. One of the fellows who was in the conference and was a conference speaker as well asked me to write a book about the Fairness Doctrine because he didn't have one that he could refer to. Well, I wrote it, and it sold more copies than any book I've ever written. And I thought, wow, this is something, because it's not a good book or a bad book. It's just a book, you know. It just gives a little history. But nobody apparently had been writing the history. And so it shows what has happened to our freedom, and it shows what is going to happen, or at least what we think is going to happen, in the years yet to come if the Lord does not return quickly.
I will admit I'm one of those that was ignorant on the Fairness Doctrine. I had heard that phrase maybe back in somewhere in the deep recesses of my high school history classes.
Right.
But if you would have asked me before I read your book, what's the Fairness Doctrine, I would have given you a blank stare. So let our audience know, what is the Fairness Doctrine? How does it impact free speech?
Well, the Fairness Doctrine came about in 1949. Harry Truman had gotten fed up, didn't like the preaching of gospel preachers. Here he was, a Southern Baptist who proclaimed his Southern Baptistry, but yet didn't like preachers and didn't like preachers that preached the truth. And so he came down on the Federal Communications Commission and told him, said, hey, you got to do something to shut these preachers up. And the way that they found to do that was to have a rule they called a doctrine. and fairness doctrine. It wasn't fair. It wasn't a doctrine. Mm-hmm. It's like the Federal Reserve. It's neither federal nor a reserve. Mm-hmm. But it was a good name, but it was not truly fair. What they said was, if you're going to have discussion of a topic of interest on radio or television, you have to have both sides or all sides to be presented. Mm. So if you're going to have someone speak about an issue, whatever that issue is, then you have both sides of the issue. Well, you and I both know, each of us knows, that sometimes there are many sides to an issue. Mm-hmm. And what had happened from 1949 until the Fairness Doctrine was done away with under the Reagan administration, the FCC basically used it as a big stick to tell preachers not to preach and to tell people who were trying to tell the truth on radio and television not to do it. Mm. And so the liberals got by with everything, and it was an affront to conservatism, and it was an affront to truth.
Mm. And how does the FCC limit or oversee communications, even to this present day?
Well, the FCC oversees the broadcast stations' licenses. So if you have CBS Network or ABC Network or NBC Network or Fox Network, not Fox on cable, but Fox Network, TV network, you have a number of stations that have signed up to broadcast the programming from those networks, and the stations have the license. The network doesn't have the license, but the stations have the license, and the FCC says, I don't like that, and they then take the license or create a problem for the licensee, and that's how they control things. That's how they step on your toes, as it were, and they say, hey, you can't say this, you can't do this, you can't be here, you can't be involved with this thing or this other thing. Now, we've noticed in the last several years that with the various social media on the internet, they've done the same thing, and not through the FCC, but through the Justice Department, the Department of Justice, the FBI, or whatever. Mm-hmm. They've done the same kind of thing that the FCC did with the Fairness Doctrine without the Fairness Doctrine being in existence anymore.
So they're still using the Fairness Doctrine, even though it was repealed in
the 80s. They use the idea, and they try to get you to actually believe that it's good for you, but it's not. It's not good for anybody.
And let's talk about historically, when the Fairness Doctrine was around, who were some of the players that were being attacked and were coming against with this Fairness Doctrine? How were their voices silenced or threatened to be silenced? Who were some of these key players?
Well, one of the key players was a fellow named J. Harold Smith. I had the occasion to meet with him several times and to talk with him. And I was blessed by those conversations and to hear him preach. And, of course, you can still hear his preaching on the internet and through various other means. But J. Harold Smith was a smart man, and he had licenses for television before television really began. But he was preaching all around the nation about communism and about how bad communism was, and how that we needed to take a stand as Christians against communism and against the dirt of these abominable people and their practices. And he would preach on radio, and he had a station down in Tijuana, Mexico, and one in Del Rio, Texas. And his problem was that Harry Truman decided he wanted J. Harold Smith off the air. And he wanted J. Harold Smith not to preach because he preached against Harry Truman, is the way he thought, I guess. But what happened was the FCC pulled all of the licenses that J. Harold Smith had for television stations. And they were all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fantastic what he had, worth probably tens of millions of dollars even then. And the FCC removed every one of them, saying that he had moved against the law and had invested money in a station in Mexico, a radio station in Mexico, which was not true. Mm. What J. Harold Smith did, and I talked to him personally about it, he bought the time to preach for a period of about 10 years and paid in advance and got a discount for doing that. So the people who were building this half a million watt station or whatever it was could build the station and have the equipment, and they used his money to buy it. So the FCC came in and said, since you've invested in foreign radio, foreign broadcasting, we're going to take away your licenses in the United States. They didn't use the fairness doctrine at that point. They just came in and stole what was his. He did his best to fight back, but I'll tell you, he had a hard time. He had rallies in Knoxville, for example. They were downtown on Gay Street and all around where the WNOX studios were and other stations were. And he not only had rallies in Knoxville, Tennessee, where he was headquartered at the time, but around the country. He got on radio and preached the truth from Mexico. And in the United States, they took him off the radio. But he still preached in foreign land, and it came into the United States. In fact, the stations that he happened to be on in Texas covered about 30 states, and so he covered most of the U.S. as it was with that. He held revival meetings all across the country, and he preached the truth. He was avowedly anti-communist. And every time he preached, the Democrats would come against him. And it wasn't Republican or Democrat, neither am I trying to pretend that it was, but it was the Democrat Party, just as it would be today, that came against J. Harold Smith when he was trying to preach the truth. Isn't that something?
It is, yes. We're visiting with Dr. Kenneth Hill, and we're discussing his book, Assault on Liberty, and it is available from our ministry by calling 1-800-652-1144. Also, visit our website, swrc.com. Order your copy of Assault on Liberty today. This is fascinating to me to think about the history of the attack on free speech, because I think of it more in terms of a modern invention in the last 20 years or so. But what you're telling us is it goes back much further than that, even in previous generations. What are some of the other historical people and figures that you see, and how has this unfolded into our present day?
The pastor who was most vilified by the FCC was the pastor of the 20th century Reformation hour, and he was always brought up and ridiculed, even though he was a respected Presbyterian clergyman. Dr. Carl McIntyre was vilified. The FCC came against him on numerous occasions. One time, Dr. Carl McIntyre was denied licenses that he had. The FCC pulled the licenses of Dr. McIntyre and of his friends. The Red Lion Broadcasting Company, for example, up in Red Lion, Pennsylvania, WGCB, the Word of God, Christ and Bible, Red Lion Broadcasting Company, they lost their license because they refused to give free airtime to ungodly people that were trying to put forth liberal views and liberal ideas, when they had sold airtime to preachers such as J. Harold Smith and others. And the FCC came in and said, well, you got to give them free time. That's fairness doctrine. And they said, no, we won't do that. We'll sell them time. It'll cost them $7.50 to be on the air for half an hour. That was nothing in those days. And yet the FCC said, no, you can't do that, and pulled their license.
Hmm.
What we have seen, though, is that McIntyre decided that he was going to make a show of this thing. And so he actually had a radio station on board a ship. You had 3 miles was the limit for international waters.
Mm.
And so he went 12 miles out, anchored the boat, and then was on the air 24/7 from that ship, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, the FCC came in and took the ship and commandeered it and closed it down and all that. We don't think about pirate radio, which they had pirate radio in Europe for years, where various people that wanted to air things, usually not the kind of stuff we would want to air, but they would be out 12 miles or 10 miles or 15 miles out in the ocean, and they would not be a part of any one nation, and they would broadcast, and until finally some nation decided to shut them down, they would broadcast. Sometimes it lasted for years. But in the United States, this is the only history we have of a pirate radio station, was from Carl McIntyre and the 20th Century Reformation Hour. When I was a youngster, I used to listen to Carl McIntyre in the locality where I lived, and his broadcast was heard around the country, and he preached against communism.
Hmm.
He preached against socialism. He preached against Russia and communist China and North Vietnam and the various locations of the world that were anti-Christian. And he preached the truth. And yet the FCC did their best to shut him down.
Hmm. And that's fascinating, because pirating the gospel in America, especially in this time period, we tend to think of that as being some of the golden years in American Christianity. And yet we see that even way back then, it was very much under threat. Well, I've been privileged to be joined today with Dr. Kenneth Hill, our ministry president, but he is discussing his book, Assault on Liberty. You can order your copy by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting our website, swrc.com. And on our next program, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Hill as we look at how this really impacts the First Amendment and our rights as American citizens and gospel Christians.
We have much more from Dr. Kenneth Hill on the so-called fairness doctrine and the assault on free speech coming up on tomorrow's Watchmen on the Wall program. Today's resource spotlight is on the book Assault on Liberty by Dr. Kenneth Hill. In his book Assault on Liberty, Rebirth of the Fairness Doctrine, you will not find a more authoritative synopsis of the fairness doctrine from a historical perspective and the current political realities in our government. Topics covered include how the fairness doctrine affects your free speech, how liberals in Congress want to revive the doctrine and its abuses to limit broadcasters from keeping you fully informed, how 40% of Americans would have their news and information censored, and what you can do to prevent these abuses. Order Assault on Liberty today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or order your copy of Assault on Liberty by visiting our website, swrc.com. Now, it's time for a moment of prophecy.
Shock, horror, disbelief. In the moments after learning the news, these were the emotions that swept over many Americans. And then came the questions. Why did this happen? Who's behind it? Are there other targets? How do we move forward? What's America going to be like tomorrow? What am I describing? Two events that occurred 24 years and one day apart. They brought similar emotions, similar questions to the minds of many Americans. September 11th, 2001, that date is forever etched upon the minds and the hearts of all Americans who are old enough to remember the devastating attacks by terrorists who hijacked airplanes and used them as weapons of mass destruction. You see, evil people plotted to destroy America on that day. The terrorists wanted to instill fear and panic to make America stop in its tracks and cower in the corner. And on that day, September 11th, 2001, there was a 7-year-old boy growing up in the Chicago suburbs. He saw how evil could bring a nation to its knees, but he also saw the resolve of a nation that stood up to bullies and that proudly protected its freedoms. That boy was Charlie Kirk. He grew into a man who loved Jesus, he loved his family, he loved his country. He displayed a tenacious boldness to confront evil, evil ideas. He was a gifted communicator. He was a keen debater. And Charlie Kirk's star shone brightly as he championed biblical values in the political arena. I don't see him as a political commentator. I see them as a person living out their biblical worldview with the gifts and the talents that God had given him in the political arena. You see, this freedom-loving American took on ideological bullies and proudly defended God's truth. 24 years and one day after September 11th, 2001, Charlie Kirk became the target of an evil person who plotted to destroy Charlie Kirk and what he stood for. You see, that assassin wanted to shut up Charlie Kirk and many like-minded Americans. The goal was widespread panic, intimidation, and destruction, just like September 11th, 2001. The gunman who tragically killed Kirk struck terror into the hearts of many. But just as on September 11th, 2001, he didn't defeat what Charlie Kirk represented. You know, I believe this murderer, what he intended for evil, will be turned into good. I believe that we're going to see a chorus of Christians with a biblical worldview who are now emboldened to live out their faith in the public square. Now, make no mistake, friends, the roots of this rage is demonic. Jesus reveals that answer for us in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 8, we read about Jesus being locked in a furious debate over his messianic claims, and he spoke some hard truths to the crowd surrounding him. He said in John 8, 45 and 44, "You were of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." You see, friends, what Jesus is pointing out is that when a society or when a group of people walks away from the truth, it opens the door for unbridled lawlessness, unbridled lust, and yes, even murder. And Jesus boldly warned his hearers that this attitude is demonically inspired. Satan twisted God's truth to convince Adam and Eve way back in the Garden of Eden at the very first temptation against humanity. He tempted them to follow their hearts. He tempted them to write their own truth. He baited this devilish hook and he caught them when they took that bait. He enjoyed watching their destruction. What a demonic attitude to enjoy watching the destruction of someone else. You see, this demonic agenda is very much at work in this world today. We saw it September 11th, 2001. We saw it September 10th, 2025. This sinful world, it continues to spiral downward toward its doom and destruction. Jesus warned his fellow truth tellers to expect rejection, to expect hatred. He said in John 15, 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And because he spoke the truth, Charlie Kirk was hated by many Americans. But Charlie never led an army or never led a militia. He never took up arms in his fight. His weapons were words. And as he fought against these ideas that are destroying countless souls and the fabric of America's foundation, and he fought a valiant fight. And Jesus also said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." You see, the September 11th hijackers and Charlie Kirk's killer followed their father, the devil, in stealing and killing and destroying innocent lives. But, and that's the great contrast in John 10:10, but Jesus came to give his abundant life. You see, Satan will never win. Jesus promised the devil's defeat. One day, soon, he's going to defeat evil once and for all. God is going to judge evil. He always has, and he always will. He came in judgment when Adam and Eve sinned. He brought a flood of judgment upon Noah's day, and he will not stand idly by while evil destroys his creation. You see, the tribulation judgment could be right around the corner, dear friends. We need to be much in prayer for Charlie Kirk's widow and those precious children who now are growing up without their father. We as the church must continue to lift them up in our prayers, but we cannot cower in the corner like the evil people want us to do. You see, God has his church on earth here for such a time as this. He wants us to minister effectively in this dark world right here, right now. This generation needs God's truth. And I believe that we are going to see some remarkable things happen in these days for the glory of God. So until the rapture trumpet sounds, the church cannot cower in the corner. The forces of darkness want the truth tellers to shut up, to run away from the public arena. But we've got to stand boldly upon God's truth as the Bible declares. We've got to live out our faith through our actions, yes, but also through our words. We must not allow evil to destroy our families, our churches, and our nation. We got to continue boldly declaring God's truth, just like Noah did in his generation.
Today's resource spotlight is on the book Assault on Liberty by Dr. Kenneth Hill. This book will inform and equip you to prevent free speech abuses, and it will show you how to combat the current assault on your liberty that's taking place. Order Assault on Liberty today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Assault on Liberty by visiting our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, more details and insight from Dr. Hill on the current state of free speech and what you and I can do to preserve this foundational right. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.